Hello and welcome. My name is Kay Young. I'm a professor here in the English department at UCSB. And I want to welcome you all to the conference. I especially want to welcome my friends and colleagues from the Society for Narrative Literature. They include Jim Phelan, Peter Rabinowitz, Marie-Laurie Ryan, Brian Richardson, and David Herman. I as well, in particular, want to take a moment to welcome to this conference, which is to say to his conference, Bill Storm. Bill has worked tirelessly and generously and perpetually, somehow in good cheer, to bring us together to create a conversation on why it is and how it is and to what ends ideas of theoretical physics are translated into narrative and drama. I asked Bill a few months ago to tell me more about why he, a scholar of Henry James, was pursuing this question, and his response reminds me of Alan Lightman's reference to Richard Feynman's chalked message from the final days of his life, quote, "What I cannot create, I do not understand," end quote. So I want to thank Bill in particular for creating this shared opportunity for understanding. For me, the conversation about how theoretical physics and narrative might mingle began when I was in my junior year at Harvard and took a year-long seminar entitled Space, Time, and Motion. My seminar leader happened to be a graduate student named Peter Gallison. I'd like to say at the time I knew what the significance of this course would be for me, but I didn't. In fact, I wanted to leave the course halfway through. Two papers a week and all that reading felt to me at 19 like kind of a drag. But I'm happy, Peter, that you convinced me to stay. While you, in fact, may not remember me, I was that girl who gave a presentation on Henri Bergson's Introduction to Metaphysics. I remember you. Your teaching and that seminar helped to shape me intellectually, not so much because I spend my time thinking now about the physical concepts of space, time, and motion, but because your course led me to begin to wonder about how it's possible for a novel, a printed verbal narrative, to represent space, time, and motion so that I imagine a physical universe parallel to, even at times replacing, our own. And your teaching helped me to realize that scientific thinking was at its heart philosophical, which is to say, made scientific inquiry not something distant and other, but something we do when we ask questions and seek answers about the meaning of physical life. And finally, what's probably stayed with me the most profoundly, because it continues to surprise me, and I think comfort and inspire me, is the recognition you led me to of the aesthetics of scientific thought. Wondering in your company about the kinds of theoretical choices Einstein made based on his aesthetic sensibility transformed theoretical scientists for me into artists and poets of the mind. And it elevated beauty for me beyond just a shared desire to a possible shared truth. How might the study of aesthetics help us to understand the universe of a narrative and the universe? What does it mean to understand a narrative as aesthetic and the physical universe as aesthetic? Might theirs be a shared aesthetic? These questions reflect something of the impact you and that course from many years ago had on me, and this moment, my introduction of you today, reflects a kind of time travel from then to now, or how remembrance of things past reveals their significance, which is to say their presence in the present. All this by way of saying, Peter Gallison is a great teacher. He is, in fact, the Mallinckrodt Professor of the History of Science and Physics at Harvard, MacArthur Fellow and recipient of the Max Planck Prize. He's the author of How Experiments End, the award-winning Image and Logic, and most recently, Einstein's Clocks, Poincaré's Maps, Empires of Time. Writing in Empires of Time of the use Einstein and Poincaré made of suspending imaginary scientists in idealized alternate universes of metaphoric trains, fantastical clocks, and abstract telegraphs in order to make real philosophical physical points, Gallison invokes his own metaphorical muse, what he calls critical opalescence, to make real the shifts in science, technology, and philosophy that made possible the coordination of time. His talk today is entitled Simultaneity, Critical Opalescence as Metaphor in Scientific History and Narrative. And indeed, it's my great pleasure to welcome by video link this master of simultaneity, Peter Gallison.